SSSSEEEEEQQQQUUUUUEEEEELLLL sequel cast.
I'm your host, Matt. Sabrina cannot be with me today because we originally were going to do our RoboCop 3 episode, but then something came up. They're installing a swanky air conditioning system in the Cascadia.fm studios. So instead of sweating out of our ears, our armpits, our knee pits, what have you, we'll be in nice, cool comfort as we're recording episodes of the sequel cast and whatever other episodes of the shows that Cascadia.fm does. So, because of that technical difficulty, I'm recording a sequel cast special episode, our fourth, from my home recording studio. And, you know, I like the film critic Roger Ebert a lot, and I was looking at what he did in some of his older episodes of Siskel and Ebert at the Movies, or Coming Attractions, or Sneak Previews. His series has had a lot of different names as the show's gone on. And on his current series, he did a flashback episode where he played an entire classic Siskel and Ebert episode about their process of what they do to review a movie, and it made me think, hey, wouldn't it be fun if I did a special sequel cast episode about how I make an episode? I, because Sabrina's not here with me at my house recording this. So, because of that, here is my take on what it takes behind the scenes of the sequel cast. First up with the sequel cast is we take a look and wonder what series of movie, what franchise, are we going to do? And there's a lot of different things we have to think about. You think, oh, it'd be easy, there's so many movies out there, you just roll some dice and pick whatever number comes up. But we don't have movie dice, number one. And number two, it's quite challenging to decide what it is that we're going to do. Because we got a Facebook page for Sequel Cast. I guess I should mention, the Sequel Cast is a podcast where we talk about movies in a franchise one movie at a time, and it airs on Cascadia.fm at 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific on Wednesdays. But today is a special episode where we talk about the making of Sequel Cast, the behind the scenes, if you will. So when we pick what franchise of movies we're going to do, Sabrina and I have a long, detailed discussion, and there's a lot of different sources we go to for what movies we've done. You know, first we go to sequelcast.com and look at the list I've made on there of all the movies we've done, all the different franchises, so we don't pick something that either I've already done with Sabrina or that I did with the Season 1 Sequel Cast cast of myself, Thrasher, Jersey Jason, BJ, and the special guests we'd have on during that season of the show. So after making sure it's not a series of movies we picked, The first thing we do is we go on our Facebook page. If you go to Facebook and search SQLcast, it'll pop up. It's probably the best way to get in contact with us or talk about your favorite episodes of the show. A lot of times people just post what they want us to cover. And there's a lot of things people have recommended several times. Most recently, RoboCop is one people have demanded since I started the Facebook page. And that's one we finally did fairly recently on the SQLcast. In fact, next week we wrap that up with the RoboCop 3 episode. So we take fan choices into consideration. Also, a while back, Sabrina, Robert Wagner, and myself made a big list of possible sequels we could do. And sometimes we consult that, because we don't have to do everything on that list we made in our private email. But it's a starting point if we get stuck. Honestly, a major factor on what we do is we look on Netflix Watch instantly, and since we all live in Portland, Oregon, in the United States, you know, we look at their Watch Instantly selection. And the thing that kind of sucks about Netflix Watch Instantly is not only is the quality hit or miss, but a lot of times films are displayed and they're on aspect ratio. Instead of widescreen, they'll be full screen. Or there'll be the wrong aspect ratio of widescreen, like 2.35 to 1 is what it should be, and it's 1.85 to 1. And what I mean by that is, when you see a movie at home in widescreen, sometimes it'll take up your entire widescreen TV, and sometimes there'll be big black bars. And that all depends on what kind of lenses they chose, and what kind of film they chose to produce the film on. And epic movies will have a wider screen, i.e. more black bars, and non-epic movies do not have black bars, but they don't always get that right on Netflix Watch Instantly, particularly if it's a movie that's from the Starz cable channel that's on there, where it's like Starz Presents and it has the sexy piano music. Oftentimes the quality is shitty and it's in the wrong aspect ratio, which is annoying for someone anal retentive as myself, because I run a movie show and I care about those technical things. But Netflix Watch Instantly is so convenient. I don't have to either rent a physical disc from Netflix or buy a used copy for a few bucks, watch it, and then physically give that disc to Sabrina, because it's all online and legal. It's a great way for us to coordinate what we're watching. But because we do franchises, it's pretty rare, with the exception of RoboCop, I've almost never seen where an entire franchise of movies is there on Netflix Watch Instantly. So if it's on Watch Instantly or not for one or two of the installments, that's a great help and a great influencer in what we pick. Although the website for the Netflix Watch Instant isn't the easiest thing to search. You can search by title, actor, director, but the results get very messy, to say the least. And you know, one big rule about the movies that we pick that Sabrina and I have agreed upon, it doesn't mean this won't change, but we typically go for a franchise of movies that has two movies in a series or is, in fact, a trilogy. And the reason for that is a trilogy, or a duology, I guess is what you call two movies in a series, is fine because you see these, a sequel is just another set of adventures with main characters you hopefully enjoyed from the first film. And if you watch more than two or three movies in the same series, fatigue starts to set in. And on season one of SQLcast, we did some things like Batman or Planet of the Apes, and I love those episodes and I love those movies. But a real fatigue starts to set in. Not that you don't enjoy doing it, but you kind of run out of things to say, or at least I do, and it becomes quite challenging to muster up enthusiasm after you've talked about the adventures of Caesar the Ape and his rebel army six times over. So because of that, we try to focus on shorter series of movies, and to that effect, something Sabrina has mentioned, which I think is a good point, is movies that are a little bit shorter. Now, why is that? Well, we all have busy lives. I mean, we don't make our living from Cascadia.fm or SQLcast or iPhone Sluts or whatever shows both of us do. You know, we have day jobs, and on top of that, like, I'm married. I have, like, a dog and two cats, and I have a wife. And Sabrina has two cats, and she has several other shows she does for Cascadia.fm, and she also works as a quiz master for Quizzy at some bars doing trivia in Portland, Oregon. So we all have very busy lives, and the shorter a movie is, the higher is the chance we'll actually get to watch the whole thing. before the sequel cast gets done. That's just a reality. It's not us being elitist, saying like, oh, we're not going to do Godfather because it's too long. I want to see Transformers instead. Although that's a bad example, because Transformers is about as long as The Godfather. Each of those films are between 2.5 to 3 hours apiece. But I'm rambling a little bit here. So that is why we also try to pick shorter films. And so to review, when we pick what series of movies, it's a bit on and off. In fact, I'll reveal what we did with the process to decide what we're going to do after RoboCop. We were kind of hitting a wall trying to think what to do. And one thing Sabrina mentioned when the very first episode I did with her was on the original Mad Max film, she said, oh, we should do Back to the Future. That'd be great. So originally I thought, oh, we're going to do Back to the Future. And I tracked down a used copy of the set and all these things. I was all ready to get started. And then Sabrina, out of the blue on Twitter, and if you want to follow SequelCast on Twitter, it's at SequelCast, and Sabrina is at SabrinaPDX. She mentions, oh, dude, why don't we do the Bourne trilogy, which I thought was a great idea, because I've only ever seen the second Bourne Identity film called the Bourne Mystery. Shit, what is it called? Bourne Identity is number one. The Bourne Ultimatum is number three. And number two of the Bourne series, I should know this because we're covering this in the sequel cast in a few weeks, is the Bourne... What the hell is this thing? Can my internet go any slower? Yeah, number two is Bourne Supremacy. So that series is Bourne Identity, Bourne Supremacy, and Bourne Ultimatum. And I thought it's cool for me to do a series of movies on sequel cast coming up after RoboCop 3, in which... It's something I'm not so familiar with, and the Bourne series is something Sabrina appears to be very familiar with. So that'll be kind of exciting, because as I understand, these are pretty dense films. So that's how we decided on a sort of last-minute decision to do the Bourne series, which I think will be very exciting. I've heard there's some of the best action film trilogy in the past decade, so I'm really excited to look into that after all the RoboCop we've been doing. And like RoboCop 2, don't get me wrong. So I've talked about how we select a series of movies on SequelCast, and next I want to talk about what I do when I watch a movie for the SequelCast. This Making of Sequel Cast special episode. I'm your host, Matt, again. Be sure to check out the Sequel Cast website at www.sequelcast.com. And we were talking about the series behind the scenes, how I make a Sequel Cast episode. And we're going to talk about now what I do when I watch a movie for the Sequel Cast. And when that happens, it's difficult, even though we pick shorter movies, it's difficult to set apart a block of time where I can watch an entire movie all at once. So because of that, I'll often watch it in chunks, usually, you know, like 20-minute or 30-minute segments, which isn't ideal. And to complicate things, I might watch 20 minutes of it in bed before I go to sleep with headphones on my iPhone. Or I might watch 20 minutes of it on my nice widescreen TV with the Sony soundbar, a surround sound system. Or I might watch some of it with my headphones on my computer in the morning, as I'm eating Captain Crunch if I'm in a junk food mood, or like, I don't know, oatmeal if I'm trying to eat something healthy for a change. And because of that, you watch it in chunks. I still have to keep in mind what's the overall plot of this movie. And me personally, I do not take notes when I'm watching things for the sequel cast, but if I see something I want to remember, I'll often comment on it out loud as I'm watching the movie. I might say, well, why the hell is RoboCop fighting ninjas in a sewer? Is that a Ninja Turtles reference? Is that a bit forced? I don't really know. And by saying it out loud while I watch the movie, it reinforces it in my mind when I do the show notes later in the process of getting ready for the sequel cast. But I do try to get comfortable while I watch a movie. I like to have a drink, whether it's some water or a beer or a little bit of wine. It kind of helps me relax as I'm watching a movie. And I try to give my full focus to it. Although that's so difficult nowadays. With smartphones, you want to check your email or check your Twitter account and think of a smart-ass thing to say as you're watching the movie. I've done that on occasion. So getting focused in the zone to watch a movie is something harder in modern-day society than it sounds like it would. It's not like you're going to a theater where you're sort of trapped in a giant room and the doors are, the lights are all off, kind of forcing you to focus on this giant screen. For those of you wondering, the TV I watch movies on at home, for the most part, it's a 37-inch 1080p Toshiba high-definition television, and the sound system is a Sony soundbar that has a subwoofer that cost about $250, and I'm very pleased with how it simulates the surround sound. The soundbar, it looks like a rectangle. It doesn't have a whole bunch of wires to it, but in that rectangle are a lot of teeny tiny speakers pointed in different directions. So when you get something that would normally hit the rear channels, i.e. speakers behind you in a traditional speaker setup, it just simulates it by bouncing it off the walls, and it does a pretty good job. And to be honest, a lot of movies don't really use the rear speaker effects anyway. So I've talked about what I do when I watch a movie for the sequel cast. So now let's go into what I do for show prep. What kind of research do I do for the show notes or the show outline before I meet up with Sabrina Miller in the Cascadia.fm studios? When I do the show prep, we do an outline. And an outline is something I never used to do for season one of sequel cast with Thrasher, Jersey Jason, BJ, and myself. And the reason being, it was often three or four or sometimes even five people on one show at a time. There wasn't a lot of dead air. Everyone had very strong, very lengthy opinions. And we're on Skype, so it's a different dynamic. Someone tries to express their opinion on Skype, then there's a pause. Someone else talks, then there's a pause. People talk over. It sounds like Transformers or R2-D2. And you got to repeat yourself a lot. And, you know, it was a totally different thing. But with Sabrina Miller, I am live in the Cascadia.fm studios. I'm sitting in a chair facing her, so we're having a face-to-face conversation. And I have to be quicker on the uptake. And that's something I've been worked on, and I feel I've improved the rapport since we started with that Mad Max episode. And part of us staying focused, even though we don't do tangents, is an outline, and it's just a series of talking points that we like to cover. And first thing on Sequel Cast is we always begin the show sort of saying what's going on in our personal lives this past week. A lot of it's things local to Portland, Oregon, whether it's a musical Sabrina's helping with the costumes on, or if it's, I might talk about a restaurant I went to over the weekend, or these sort of things. So it's kind of fun. If you're local to Portland, you know what we're talking about. If not, it's a way to break the ice. So the entire show isn't just movies, 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 movies. Oh, RoboCop, why are all the sequels not very good, right? So it gives a sense of what our lives are outside the show, and I hope that's fun for our listeners. And if you have an opinion about that, you know, go to the SequelCast Facebook page, go to Facebook, look up SequelCast. So my search for the show notes, I often go to the internet and look around for different posters for the movie. You know, there's your traditional posters from the United States. There might be floating heads on a background of clouds. And there might be a Japanese poster that's really weird. There might be a Swedish poster that shows Harrison Ford sleeping as a poster for Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom or something. So I'll get an inspiration with a especially wacky poster and slap that on top of the outline. And then I look to a website I've been visiting for many, many years called Box Office Mojo. And even though they're not 100% accurate, they're fairly close most of the time. In Box Office Mojo, you can see when a movie was released, what other movies it was competing against in its opening weekend, how much money it made, usually worldwide, although if it's older stuff, it'll just say domestically, i.e. what it made in the United States. And I find those statistics fascinating, because part of a movie is when it was released. Why, you know, did they decide to come out in the same summer as Batman with Michael Keaton came out? Isn't that a bad idea? Or, oh, this movie made less money than Larry the Cable Guy. That's pretty weird for Basic Instinct 2. Right. So it's all these different things out there to keep into consideration. When you look at box office statistics, I think it gives it the, when I talk about the movies, it gives their place in history very apparent. And aside from box office stats, we also talk about a staple in the sequel cast, where we were when we first saw this movie. Sometimes it'll be, oh, I haven't seen this movie, except I watched it for the first time watching it for the sequel cast. Or, I saw this movie with my mom and dad and I was uncomfortable because it had some really spicy sex scenes. Or, I saw it with a friend of mine on videotape and we sort of did movie marathons all day. Right, so it's all these different things. And I think when you first see a movie, it's a really big expectation. And it's fascinating to me how when you watch a movie when you're younger, and it's so different your point of view than when you're older most of the time, or sometimes the movie still has that magic as you come back to it. And that's a really great thing on the sequel cast that we discussed. Yeah, another thing on the outline, which I think is almost more important than the plot of a movie, is the different actors playing the different characters. Because in a movie, a lot of things happen. You might not remember the specifics of the plot, how in RoboCop 2, there is a part where RoboCop becomes politically correct and says, Ma, your hair looks lovely today. But you might remember Peter Weller doing a hell of a job as RoboCop. You might remember Nancy Allen doing a great job as Officer Ann Lewis. So because of all these things, I think characters are very important to movies. You might not remember the scenes, but you remember how cool, or at least for me, Jeff Goldblum was as Dr. Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park 1 and 2, for example. It's the characters, I think, that stick out, and it offers a good launching point. We discuss costumes, acting styles, get all these sort of things out of the way. So when we talk about the plot and story, we can focus more on that now that we've given background to all the different players in the movie, so to speak. And that's the next thing on the outline, is the plot. The plot of a movie, of course, is what happens from scene to scene. We aren't super anal with descriptions. We sort of expect listeners to have watched the movie beforehand, but by no means is that a requirement. And by going through the plot in a logical order, from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie, without hopefully spoiling too much at the end. In addition to talking about characters and plot on the outline of the show that Sabrina and I look at before we do an actual episode of the sequel cast, one thing I do on a more technical end is I prepare the intro and outro to the show. What I mean by that is the intro is the sequel cast theme song. That starting with season 2 is something I did where I overdubbed the intro to the Men with Hats song Safety Dance. So instead of going S-S-S-S-A-A-A-A-F-F-F-F-E-E-E-T-T-T-T-Y-Y-Y-Y Safety Dance, it goes S-S-S-S-E-E-E-Q-Q-Q-U-U-E-E-L-L-L Sequel Cast was my idea. I think it's cute. I think it works. I wanted to do something different, even though I loved the original theme song to the sequel cast from season 1. I had to do a different theme song, I felt, to make it very clear this was a new season, a new start. And that's the best I could come up with. I could change that at a later point, too, so you never know. And so I take that audio file, and I mix it, I crossfade it into usually an audio clip of the movie that I'm trying to look into. And I look for the clips of the movie on YouTube, and I look around, and if you look around, there's some websites where you put in a YouTube link, and it spits out a MP3 file that you can download, and it's not the best quality, but it works well enough, especially if I run a normalize on it to boost up the audio levels a bit. And that's how I get audio for the intro of the show, whether it's a scene from the movie or the trailer. And I think that sets the scene for the movie we're talking about. And I usually try to pick a funny scene. It's really interesting. I pick the audio. And you watch a movie that has video, what you're seeing, and audio, what you hear. But when I'm in the studio listening to the intro, it sounds totally different to me because it's just the audio. And divorced from the video, it can give a different effect than when you're watching the entire picture and sound in the movie itself. You know, 30 seconds in a movie, you're watching picture and sound, seems really quick. But 30 seconds of audio, especially if it's an awkward clip, can sound like an eternity. I also picked the outro music to the show. And originally, with season 2 of SequelCast, I was just picking music to end the show with that I liked, whether it's a bit from Brian Tyler's score for the fourth Rambo movie, confusingly titled Rambo, or, you know, music from the Goonies. But lately, I've been putting more time into picking an outro that has to do with what we're talking about. So, like, for instance, RoboCop 2, at the end of the show, it played a piece of music from a RoboCop cartoon where the theme song was RoboCop, 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 oh yeah. And I thought that was a pretty funny clip, and it had to do with RoboCop, which is what we were talking about. So I'm trying to make the outro music have a bit more with what we do on the show. So intro and outro, all of the outline information is what I put together, is what we just were talking about for show prep. And when we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the actual process of recording the sequel cast, whether it's in the Cascadia.fm studio or my home studio. This is Matt again with the Sequel Cast, a show where we talk about movie franchises every week, one movie at a time. This is a special episode in which we're talking about behind the scenes of an episode of the Sequel Cast. Now, we've talked a bit about show prep and research and watching movies for the Sequel Cast. Now we're going to talk about the actual nitty-gritty, the recording process. Typically, unless it's a special episode like this, what you're listening to, the Sequel Cast is recorded in the palatial Cascadia.fm studios in Portland, Oregon. And they're getting air conditioning installed in there right now, which is why this episode you're listening to is not RoboCop 3. I promise the RoboCop 3 episode will come next week. So, with all that in mind, the Cascadia.fm studios has a really mind-boggling array of equipment. You have four really nice microphones that are plugged into several computers or tape recorders or daisy-chained into this big mixing board. You have a computer that has a set of all these different sort of a soundboard thing, where if they want to do a sound effect or an audio file on cue, they just have to push a number on their number pad, and it plays it live on the show as it's happening. And it all takes place at this big table. So I try to sit at a spot catty-corner from Sabrina, so when I'm talking to her, I can look her in the face as if we're having a normal conversation, and I feel that adds a lot to the liveliness of the sequel cast, is Sabrina and I talking as if we're having a conversation, even though, you know, it's on a movie we've seen, we have notes we're going off of, but it helps add to the spontaneity. One thing I'm not so good at with the sequel cast as we're doing it live is I have to really keep in mind how much time we have. And Sabrina will give me the number 5 with her fingers, so I know we have 5 minutes or so left in the show. And what I try and do is where I sit, I get a clear view of in the Cascadia.fm studios, there is an oven with a clock on it. And I try to look at that clock when we start recording. So I have it in mind more or less how much more time we have on the show, whether to stop yammering on about Sabrina, about the characters with Sabrina and move on to the plot, or whether to spend a bit more time talking about trivia in the movie if we need a bit more time to space out the show. So, all that in mind, it is a lot of work to do record a show live and have about between 50 to 55 minutes worth of material. You know, the very first kind of radio I ever did was in college. I went to the Savannah College of Art and Design, and from 2004 to 2005, I did a video game music show called Do the Mario. And that, you know, was a pretty easy way to do live radio because you're just talking about this piece of music like, oh, Koji Kondo did this amazing arrangement on piano of the Mario Brothers theme. You're not really talking that much. It's the music that's doing the talking. But shifting from that, I've been doing podcasting since 2005. In 2005, I did one of the first video game music podcasts called the Super Cooper Trooper Show. But again, you know, that's very different. I really haven't had a pure talk radio experience live in a studio until I started doing SequelCast in the Cascadia.fm studios with Sabrina. And it took me a little bit to get my sea legs, so to speak. But I think I've greatly improved. And Sabrina's a pro doing so many shows and willing to teach me some things as we're doing the show. And that's the main reason for having the outline, is to keep us on target. If our mind suddenly blanks, which can happen as you're having a conversation, we know something else to move on to. Instead, the worst thing you can have on live radio is dead air, where you're saying something like, well, here in RoboCop 3, RoboCop fights the ninjas, and he fights ninjas and stuff. I always wanted to be a ninja. Okay, so like SequelCast is not that bad. But it's the idea that you want to be spontaneous, you want to be quick. If someone, improv can be useful, although I've only taken one acting class. I did a lot of theater in high school, and you do a lot of improv exercises. I find those things can kind of keep you fresh as far as spontaneity. And sometimes on SequelCast, you do things live in the studio, and I've totally bombed as far as trying to do comedy bits or like Basic Instinct 2. When we did that episode, I was trying to think of a labored metaphor for how the whole movie is Sharon Stone giving the audience blue balls. She's just tugging and tugging and tugging, but nothing's coming out, so to speak. But I didn't put it in that funny of a way. All I said in the show is I did this 5-minute labored explanation, and Sabrina looks like, what are you smoking? Dude, Matt, what are you smoking? I don't know what's happening. So you know, when you're in this awkward situation in the studio, I know that it's happening. At one point, I think I just said, well, let's table that and let's move on to another metaphor. But sometimes you just got to roll with the punches. You don't know if it's a good idea or not if another idea comes in your head as you're talking until it comes out. You know, if the sequel cast was something where I wrote a 55-page script every day, and Sabrina and I would just repeat the script, you know, once a week, that would be boring. Things would be very mechanical. You can tell when you're reading something out loud. Like, if I am reading something, I'll read something out loud right here, and you can see how the delivery is different from the spontaneity in the delivery I've been doing so far on this show. So if I'm reading out loud, it'll sound like this. We will supply, free and upon request, copies of all documents, records, and information we rely upon, receive, consider, or generate in making our initial or appeal decisions. That's something off a piece of insurance documentation. But regardless, you get the idea. If you're reading something off a piece of paper, it often sounds very, very rehearsed. So, the spontaneity is what makes the sequel cast in the Cascadia.fm studios so very, very special. Now, when I do a SequelCast special episode, like this special behind-the-scenes SequelCast episode, I do it on my home studio, which is hooked up to my desktop PC that my friend Keen Threebo of Destructoid fame built for me here in Portland. Thanks, Evan. And I've upgraded my equipment. So what I use now is I have a XLR microphone hooked up to a small Behringer mixer. I also have a pop filter attached to part of my desk in front of the microphone. And a pop filter is so when you say like the letter PPP or BBB, it doesn't have a big pop sound or sound distracting. In addition to all that, I have a set of headphones plugged into my speakers, and the way the mixer plugs into the back of my sound card on my PC is kind of complicated, and when I'm recording these episodes from home, the special episodes, that is, I do it in Audacity, and with all my editing, I do it in a piece of software called Sony Vegas Platinum. I think the interface is pretty quick. The rendering time is pretty quick. It's a consumer-level product that cost about $50. I don't really feel the need to upgrade to a newer version. But I can work faster using that piece of software than Audacity. Although Audacity, for my purposes, works fine with recording. So with all that nerd shit out of the way, let's take a little break, and then we'll come back talking about what I do about promoting the sequel cast so people know we have a new show coming out. Matt on the sequel cast with this very special episode talking about behind the scenes of the sequel cast. What goes into making an episode from my point of view? And I'm Matt, the creator and host of the sequel cast, along with Sabrina. Sabrina's not with us because we're having technical problems with the air conditioner getting installed at the same time as which we record the sequel cast in the Cascadia.fm studios. But I promise next week the RoboCop 3 episode will be there. So I hope this episode is an interesting trifle, side story, if you will, in the main sequel cast mission of covering movies in a franchise one at a time. Now, as important as it is doing a podcast, you know, a big problem is promotion, marketing. How the hell are you going to get people to listen to it? And the two main things I do to promote sequel cast is Facebook and Twitter. So Facebook is an ultra-popular social networking site that, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you know what Facebook is. But the story about the making of Facebook was told in the movie The Social Network, directed by David Fincher a year or two ago. I think it's in 2010 is when that came out. But anyway, Facebook, I did not use Facebook as a way to promote the sequel cast for the longest time, and I really wish I had done it from the beginning, had I known my stuff. At first, I set it up incorrectly. I created a fake account where the first name was Sequel and the last name was Cast, and I quickly found out that's not the way to do it. It's far better to create a fan page for Sequel Cast where people can search Sequel Cast, and it says, oh, 39 people or 50 people, whatever it is, like this. And on the Facebook page, I will post YouTube links to trailers of the films I find interesting, pictures of posters of the movie, weird commercials. Like, one thing that's so, you know, that it works better in a visual medium on Facebook on a YouTube video than is audio on the sequel cast show itself. For instance, with RoboCop in Korea, they did several commercials for fried chicken, basically like a shake-and-bake style chicken, or with ramen noodles starring RoboCop dancing around, and one is Korean, I think one is Japanese, where he's like, "Kore wa ramen noodle desu, RoboCop, what the hell?" You know, it's very weird seeing RoboCop talking an Asian language selling fried chicken or ramen noodles. It's bizarre and really funny, and it works great on the Facebook page. The other thing I do on the Facebook page, of course, is after the show airs on Cascadia.fm Live, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific on Wednesdays, is after I get home from work, usually Wednesday evening Pacific time, I will post the episode to sequelcast.com, and then I'll post a link to that on Facebook. The other thing I use a lot more than Facebook to promote Sequelcast is Twitter. Twitter is something I've only started doing since January of this year, but I've been using it quite a bit, and not just for Sequelcast stuff, just to say funny observations I have in everyday life, or if I'm frustrated with, oh, this traffic's awful, I'll talk about that on Twitter as well. It took me a bit to understand what Twitter is. The way I view Twitter, not only as a marketing vehicle, is Twitter is a way to post text messages for the whole world to see, public text messages. And by limiting things to 140 characters, it really forces you to be creative, short, and to the point. You know, a classic rule of English grammar is avoid unnecessary words. And Twitter, I think, has made me into a better writer. And along those lines, I'm working on a secret Sequelcast ebook thing that I hope to release in September, and it'll be a pretty nominal fee. I think it'll cost $2 or $3, but I'll talk about that more once I actually get it written and once it actually comes out. So you can look forward to that. So on Twitter, I'll often ask people that follow me, or just people I like, whether they're people like Ryan Gallagher, who is the host of the Criterion Cast, a podcast partially based out of Portland, Oregon, that talks about movies in the esteemed Criterion Collection, or even people, like recently for RoboCop, I've been having a bit of a discussion with Harry Knowles, the head of the movie gossip website, ain'titcoolnews.com, or even lately it's been a treat talking on there to Nathan Hamill, who is the son of Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill is better known as Luke Skywalker, or as the voice of Joker in the Batman animated series from the 90s. But his son, Nathan Hamill, is an accomplished illustrator and also designs, I'm not positive if he builds them too, but he designs these vinyl toys that are really, they're comic, but sometimes also disturbing, but definitely unique. Nathan Hamill does a lot of cool stuff like that, but I've been talking to him about RoboCop. So Twitter is a way I like to shoot out messages and say, hey, what do you think about the RoboCop trilogy, or what do you think about Basic Instinct, or what do you think about Sequelcast in general? Have you listened to it? It's a way to keep the Sequelcast name out there, and it's a way that when I watch movies at home, I'll often live tweet about my experience of watching the movie. Or one thing I like doing on Twitter is I use a service like ScreenTribe, where I'll say what episode of what show or what movie I'm watching as I'm watching it. And I can go back and say, like, oh, okay, I did see RoboCop already. I don't need to watch it again. Because sometimes my short-term memory is not as good as my long-term memory. I'll just put it that way. So when the Sequelcast show goes up, the advantage of me doing it most of the time in the Cascadia.fm studio is I don't have to do any editing, besides doing the intro or the outro. And that saves me time, even though I got to go to downtown Portland to record the show. But when I do a special episode, I have to do editing. And although I like audio and video editing, for that matter, it's very time-consuming, and I'd rather spend more time researching show notes to have a better show than to spend all this time editing the ums and ahs and awkward pauses out of the show, like I do sometimes otherwise. So, you know, that's very liberating, and a big reason why I moved from doing Sequelcast on Skype with two or three different people in two or three different states to doing it in a studio in Portland, Oregon. So, after the show gets released, I put it up on the website sequelcast.com, and you know, there's a lot of different ways to get Sequelcast. If you're listening to it live on Cascadia.fm, you get to hear it that way. If you go to Cascadia.fm and you they have a player on there where you listen to it live, but they have an on-demand option. You can check a lot of recent Sequelcast episodes on there if you scroll through a bit. Cascadia FM has such a wealth of shows that you have to scroll through a little bit to pick the actual episode that you want. But a third way to get, and I think the easiest way to get Sequelcast episodes other than iTunes, is go to sequelcast.com And it's a website that I programmed, and I host the files for the Sequel Cast, for the pure Sequel Cast only feed, not the main Cascadia feed, through a site called libsyn.com, L-I-B-S-Y-N.com. I think their prices are pretty reasonable for what you get, covering all the bandwidth and everything. And they also have a great way to view statistics for your show. And I think all those things are pretty interesting. And one thing about the Sequel Cast you might not know is that the amount of episodes that are downloaded every week has nothing to do with how long Sequel Cast has been on the air. Yes, when the Sequel Cast started a little bit over a year and a half ago, I think it was, like October of 2009 or something is when the first episode of Beverly Hills Cop was recorded. What you get is something where, excuse me, when the show started, we only had 0 people downloaded a day, or 1 or 2 people downloading it a day. And I guarantee you, most of the time it was me, or Thrasher, or Jersey Jason. But as it builds up, on average, we get a higher number of listeners on the show. But depending on the movie we do, how popular it is, how good I am sometimes at cross-promoting it. For instance, when I did the series of episodes on Young Indiana Jones, all the different Indiana Jones movies and the TV shows, the guest we had on the show for those was Mitch Halleck, who was a major contributor to the IndieCast Indiana Jones-themed podcast. And because of all the cross-promotion we did, those got very big download numbers. But it's not just a guest we have on that helps. It's also, you know, RoboCop, it's a nerdy movie. Nerdy movies tend to do better on the Sequel Cast. While, on the other hand, the lowest rated episodes we ever did were on Chinatown and The Two Jakes, you know, a duology of detective movies starring Jack Nicholson. And while those were fun movies to do, they're not quite for our demographic. I'm not going to say we're never going to do a really old, serious movie again. But it's certainly something to keep in mind when you're building an audience. You want movies that your listening audience has heard of. And that doesn't mean we're going to do shit like Scary Movie or Disaster Movie or Superhero Movie or American Pie or whatever. Not that we couldn't. But it's a good mixture. You don't want to do, and that's the thing on the Sequel Cast, when we pick out what movies we're going to do, we just don't say, oh, we're going to do superhero movies all the time. Or, oh, we just did Michael Douglas with Basic Instinct. This was a real conversation Sabrina and I had, by the way. We just did Basic Instinct. I noticed on Netflix, Watch Instantly, they have Romancing the Stone and Jewel of the Nile, a duology that's a kind of a ripoff slash spoof of Indiana Jones. And we said, well, while those movies are fun, we just did Michael Douglas. Why don't we give it a rest and we can do the Romancing the Stones movies with Michael Douglas or Kathleen Turner later on, when it's not so fresh, Michael Douglas's throbbing ass from Basic Instinct isn't so fresh in our minds. So, there's that. And with all the release things, I also cross-post the links of the Sequel Cast episode of the week to Facebook, to Google+, which I don't believe, it's a competitor to Facebook, but I think it has a slicker interface, less intrusive interface. You don't get hit with a million invitations to help your neighbor's Farmville farm or Mafia Wars gun stash get higher. You know, it's kind of stripped down into the point, which is very much Google's modus operandi. with all these sort of things, it's, I hope you've had this a great experience listening to this very special behind-the-scenes episode of the Sequel Cast. And what I want you listeners to know is, what ideas do you have for special episodes? Because as much as we do movies in a franchise week to week, sometimes we have to do these special episodes. There might an emergency, like with this air conditioning experience, might come up. Or there might be a holiday. Or one of us, heaven forbid, might be on vacation. So, you know, so far we've done special sequel cast episodes on video game movies, movies that seem like they would have a sequel, but don't. There's been a best of sequel cast episode, kind of a one-year anniversary thing. So there's a lot of different things we've done, but if you have ideas, you know, just post it on our Facebook page over at Sequel Cast. And so this is Matt. I hope you've enjoyed this very special look at the behind the scenes of the Sequel Cast from this fourth Sequel Cast special episode. I want to tell you to go to the website at sequelcast.com or listen to us live 3 to 4 p.m. Saturdays on Cascadia.fm. And in addition, might I recommend you pay attention to what we're going to do in the Sequel Cast in the coming weeks. We are going to do RoboCop 3 next week, and the next few weeks after that, the next series of movies we'll be doing is the Bourne Trilogy, which is I'm not so familiar with. And coming off of RoboCop, let me tell you, the Bourne trilogy is something you have to pay a lot more attention to what's going on with the plot. It's not just about RoboCop running around having fun in the city, killing splatterpunks. It is about a lot of different political backstabbing and action and Matt Damon in a starring role. So look forward to RoboCop 3 and a look at the Bourne trilogy, which consists of the Bourne Identity, the Bourne Supremacy, and the Bourne Ultimatum coming in the next coming weeks on the Sequel Cast. This is Pat, and have a fantastic evening. Good night. Or good morning, as the case may be.